I think we were thinking about album title ideas, and ridiculously, this band has always had.
I was going to say, does that have some sort of pattern, right?
Syllables.
Yeah.
I don't know
five
where
words
it came from, but it's stuck. So Jay said, let's call it The Revenge of the Fifth. Casey said, and it's your fifth album. And then we it was one of those things. And
oh, we play the power chords, which are fifths.
Yeah, so.
So when are we going to release this? May. That's the fifth month. What day?
Wow. It kind of just fell into place.
Flip out video.
Mascot.
And you're checking out The Grind with Stacey Steele on Punk Rock Radio.
Hey everybody, this is The Grind on Punk Rock Radio. I'm Stacey Steele. In today's volume, we have, just for you, brand new Belvedere. We're spinning some fresh songs off the absolutely amazing new album, Revenge of the Fifth. And I had a talk with the guys here in Calgary at Echo Base Studios recently. Check it out.
Peace. We live like devils through December. 100 days
you pros, the highs and lows. Take the jewels of them and drive them straight to hell. The path requires the truth, the lies, and push from mothers on the way. Rock beats and tracks, I never take it back, though I wish I'd done it gracefully. Time lost in space, but we missed the taste. We must remind ourselves where we have been.
Salutations, I'm Stacey Steele on The Grind, Punk Rock Radio. Today we are here with members of Belvedere in Calgary. Thanks for being here, everybody. As we are broadcasting on the audio waves, please introduce yourselves in the room. It's been a while since we've interviewed you, so welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm Steve. I play in Belvedere.
Hi, my name is Jay. I also play in said band.
What do you play?
Oh, yes. Guitar and vocals.
Yes.
The Fool, mostly. Can we
use that? Yeah, absolutely. The Jester.
Scott, I play guitar.
Casey, I Belvedere drum play.
Welcome to the show. This new album, Revenge of the Fifth, which is set to drop on May 5th, is your fifth release, and it's absolutely ridiculous. A solid album that's fast and ripping. There's some definite progression in the lyrics and sound. It's your first album in 12 years, and you've come a long way in the entire 21 years as a band. There was some evolving with a small lineup change with the addition of Casey Lewis on drums. How has Casey brought new elements as a newest member to the table with recording, writing, and touring? That's a big, long first part. So
I wouldn't say he has it all.
No.
I would say the best thing about Casey is that we have a DD now, which has never happened in this band before.
Yeah.
Because Casey doesn't do drugs or drink, which is great. Because, I mean, for a drummer, that's awesome. But
we do.
Even better for a driver.
Yep.
So when we can, you know, really get loose at shows, this is pretty nice.
And I can say for someone, for someone that does a lot of driving, I'm very happy about this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's the best wine tech you'll ever have.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy knows how to pop a cork.
How do you feel about being the designated driver?
Well, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you get hired for a job, you know, they say, oh, this is the thing you're going to be doing. And then you're like, okay, cool, I can do that thing. And they're like, oh, you know, now you have to do all these other things that we didn't tell you about. And that's what it's like being in Belvedere.
No, it's like, true. Give us a jam space and record our album. And,
well, I was paid for that, though. I'm just talking about the free stuff.
Right, Wine Tech, DD.
Wine Tech, DD.
Yeah. He's got it all just about.
Apparently he's editing videos too now.
So oh, yeah.
Video editor.
Directing, yeah. Producing.
Yeah.
Exact produce.
He knows how to swing a GoPro.
Are you guys going to keep going?
Key grip. That seems like a lot.
It does. Well, welcome to the band, Casey.
Thanks.
It's great to see you. What was the point when you guys decided to start making music in Belvedere again? What was the sort of like bee that got in your bonnet about this whole thing? I know you guys did shows a couple years ago with Pulley, and there's been a couple of one-off shows and sort of hints and sounds of some new stuff kind of coming up. How did it all sort of come back to be?
It's funny because it felt like once we started as a reunion, not really knowing what it actually was going to be, just doing some shows right away. There's sort of mentions of if we would or if we wanted to. And then I know Jay, a chunk into when we started doing shows again, sent out a few tracks he'd been working on. And when I heard, I think the first three that he'd put together, which ended up being, I think, Achilles, Shipwreck, Hairline, were the three ones that Jay sort of had thrown out. And I remember listening to those in my email on the train thinking, Well, maybe it is something we could do. Then once we realized that we weren't just doing a few reunion shows and we were doing stuff as a band again, it just sort of came together, I guess. But.
Yeah, and I think we kind of finally made the decision to start demoing. Remember, Casey and I, we demoed one of the songs I was doing, and then we demoed all those songs that Jay had written and one that Scott had done. And I remember we did, I think Scott's on Years, we did the vocals on it, and then we kind of said to each other, like, that sounds like a Belvedere song. You know, we felt like we were going in the right direction, and it seemed to really start, you know, going. It took the better part of a year to kind of put this all together. But, yeah, it all seems, you know, to be going in a good pace.
Team effort, because enthusiasm's infectious, you know what I mean? Like, if you have one person that's optimistic and it's trying to pull the cart, but the other three people are like, yeah, I'm not so into this, never works. But if all four people are like feeding off of each other and just sparking and ideas are coming out and that sort of thing, then it can snowball really fast, and then you have a new record and it's really, really good. So it was exciting to be a part of.
How did you feel when the band first approached you?
Really, really good.
Really good.
Like, I don't want to be more clear about that. Everyone should buy it, because it's really...
It's pretty solid.
Really good.
It's going to express how good.
So, what was the question, Stacey?
We're here to bump the record, right?
How did the band approach you to become included in Belvedere?
Well, actually, I was just filling in for some shows in Japan in 2014. And then... I don't know, it just sort of worked out.
Then you filled in more.
And then I
filled in more.
And then I became the new guy. Yeah, sometimes chemistry is just like that. I mean, I've known these guys for a long, long, long time. I think I met Steve for the first time in like 94 or something like that. Yeah. So, and Jay probably even earlier than that. I probably met him for the first time in like 92 or 93. So
Casey is the only guy that liked my shitty, shitty crust punk band when I was 15 years old. And he was so stoked on us after. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I'm like, this guy's like, I don't know. I think he's, what are you, you're not 7 years older than me?
You're 37.
But when you're 15 and that guy's 19, I mean, that's
a huge thing.
That's a gap.
Yeah. I still have a cassette.
Yeah, he's got this jean jacket, which I could never pull off. You know, I had a leather jacket, but he had a jean jacket with buttons on it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy's a real deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, he loved my band, Serial Heroes, which incidentally, Jay Walters was the drummer for, so the first drummer of Belvedere, and Tyler Pickering, from The Evidence, was also the other guitar player. Fun fact there.
We've got a lot of history, because this is a standoff. We brought The Evidence over to Europe, and I booked a tour for them before that, and Belvedere and The Failure, we did some stuff in BC, and I think that's when Casey and I really got to hang out for 2 weeks. We'd seen each other at shows and done sound for all these shows that I put on back in the day.
I was worried about Casey on that tour. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him.
And now you know.
Yeah, I know.
And now you know.
Nothing to be afraid of.
But yeah, so when you have that kind of history, it kind of all just sort of falls into place. You don't really have to work that hard at it.
Mm-hmm. It's nice knowing each other from, you know, like from before and that.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, everybody's a little older now, so some of our quirks have been smoothed over and refined to a certain extent. So I think all of us are a little less uptight and, you know, more easygoing and easier to get along with and better at adapting and compromising.
Awesome when they're 25.
Oh, I know.
But, like, we were so awesome back then. You know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where myself, at least, when I was a younger man, getting the things that I cared about in this band were not the things I care about now. You get wrapped up, or I got wrapped up, and, you know, oftentimes just thinking about, like, this is so awesome. We're playing big shows, or, you know, this rock and roll fantasy of being on tour all the time and living that lifestyle. And then now, it seems like it's more about the craft. It's about actually producing something good, something that's meaningful, more meaningful. I know that sounds cheesy as hell, but it's just
different
places in our lives. And the same things that would have driven us crazy about each other back when we were 23, 24 and fighting our own egos and dealing with what we were doing. Now it's just like, what were we mad about again? I don't know, dude. Like,
you. Yeah. We were mad about you.
Yeah. Mad about you. No, I think he's right, though. Like, it's more of a team game now, where I think maybe it was a little bit what's in it for me back then.
Right.
I think when you're on the road 200, 250 days of the year, you tend to get that way.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we do these really great long weekends and they're super fun tours, and it's really a great time being able to tour the world with these guys.
Excellent. You guys have released a couple of singles before the release of the album coming out. Hairline was the first one, as well as Achilles, and you have some live footage of some of your practice that you had with that. Why did you decide on these two singles as the first ones to release before the album?
Well, I think Hairline kind of, we played that one live. We did a show with Propagandy there a little while ago, and we ended up playing that one live, and I don't know, to me, Hairline was kind of like one of the first complete songs, and it just seemed like that made sense to put out. It's a little goofy, maybe a little different than some of the stuff that is also on the album, but I think it's also a good representation of the album as a whole, and so that's where I wanted to do that one. And Achilles, I just think I really love that song, and I love the chorus.
Boy.
Achilles, Belvedere, Revenge of the Fifth. What is the song about, Achilles?
Well, Jay originally had the chorus written and wanted to call it Achilles, so I can only really speak for the verse because I tried to sort of tie this sort of Greek mythology and trying to reference it with the weight of the world being on your shoulders, but I can't really speak to the chorus, which I hand it over to my buddy Jay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great segue to what I was going to add there, Steve. I was going to say, like, those songs in particular, right, when one of the things I think that kind of screwed with our heads, or at least... a lot when we were younger, was the process of writing when we were writing albums, which would be people would be bringing full songs in and saying, this is the song, this is what we're doing, sing this, do this, blah, blah, blah. And it was more of a, you know, each person or whoever's doing the writing at that time bringing full songs. Whereas this one, me and Steve, I had a hand in each other's, mm-hmm. I think maybe just for a couple. I mean, there's maybe one or two that we did individually where Steve brought a full song and we kept it most, you know, mm-hmm. verbatim what we originally do, what the demo was. And then there's other ones like Hairline and Achilles that we just got together, and like Hairline, I'm just like, here's the music, here's kind of a line, like some sort of goofy little line I have in my head, mm-hmm. and that literally was it. And then Steve went and did all the vocals on it in terms of the lyrics, the phrasings of it, and then we, you know, knocked heads around a little bit and tweaked it so we both liked it, you know, in terms of the mm-hmm. phrasing. But it was like, you know, it was all Steve. And same with Achilles, I had a chorus, we both agreed that the chorus needs to stay, like mm-hmm. that's what it is. Like, it's about that chorus. But the stuff that I had originally for the verses, I fucking hated. Like, just hated it. Like, just drove me crazy. Because yeah. all I could hear is my shitty little nasally voice on it instead of the voice of the band. So I think when I listen to the lyrics, everything he's saying fits in what I'm saying. I mean, mine was more about a relative that went to war and sort of had to deal with the idea of what they're actually sacrificing for and what the point of doing it other mm-hmm. than just to go kill people.
What their freedom is for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, not even the freedom, but just why we have modern warfare, mm-hmm. right? What is the whole point of going out and going overseas and just randomly killing people, you know, instead of, you know, like traditional wars like World War One, World mm-hmm. War Two, and that was where the reference is going to come from. So
that's interesting.
Everything that he was saying mm-hmm. in the song, when I read his lyrics, I'm like, oh, of course, that matches everything. It's just a different, mm-hmm. you know, synonym for it, a different analogous way to look at the same idea.
That's interesting, because I didn't know that it was that worldly.
Well, ask me a fucking question once in a while.
Political and theme. Well, I only heard...
Stop throwing drumsticks at him.
Okay. Well, I only heard the lyrics after we had already, like, workshopped the song, mm-hmm. so... To hear that is kind of interesting, because the lyrics ended up sounding very personal to me, like from a very personal perspective. And to hear that it's emblematic of why it's such a good thing to collaborate with people, because you get an opportunity to explore avenues that you wouldn't otherwise. And I think this record was very much like that. For me, Hairline was the one song that didn't really get workshopped. It was like, boom, this is the song. We were all like, yep, perfect.
But to be fair,
nobody had anything to say about it.
Was the oldest, when right before Belvedere broke up, I had most of that song the same kind of way it was. Well, very similar to the way it ended up on this album. Mm-hmm. Right before we broke up, and Steve was over at my place, I think like 2 months before we did that last tour, the tour that broke up the band and then the reunion tour or whatever. And he was going like, yeah, this is fucking awesome. We have to make this a song. So, I mean, it had been around technically since like 2000. Five, mm-hmm. you know, so that one I think still was written in sort of the same spirit of where we all at creatively when we broke up. So right. maybe that's why it sort of hits home for everyone.
So to answer your question, we chose those two videos because we like the songs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. All right,
tough one though, because this is a rare record. For me, this is a rare record because I've made a lot of albums, but there aren't a lot of albums that I've made either personally or for other people where I like every song. Mm-hmm. That's a rarity, so to have been a part of this.
And do you like every song?
I do. I like every song on the record, which is a rarity. There's none that I skip when I listen to it, at least not yet. I mean, maybe in 6 months. But I've heard it literally hundreds of times, so that's a good sign, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, thumbs up, fellas. You did good.
You took your time with the recording process, of course, making it the way that you wanted. This is sort of a two-part question. What inspired the name of the album, Revenge of the Fifth, for those people that haven't heard yet? And what are some of the themes and elements that residing in the album and the songs? We did sort of touch base on a couple of the songs there, especially Achilles.
You say it's a two-part question. Do we
kind
get
of.
Twice the credit, or do we just
you
get
can.
Credit for a single question?
You can get double credits.
Scott,
the title was magic.
Give me the history.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
It's funny because the timing The timing's interesting. As Steve sent me the screenshot from his email, but last year on May 5th, at lunch at work with my iPad, I wrote the riff to the beginning of what is the song called Revenge of the Fifth. And since it was the day after May the 4th, and I thought it was funny that it was May the 5th, I said, emailed the song off and said, here's a 20-second riff, and called it Revenge of the Fifth.
Like Revenge of the Sith, instead of May the 4th be with you, Revenge of the Fifth.
And
so it's a nerd reference.
Without really thinking of anything, and then we worked it up to be a song, and then I think we were thinking about album title ideas, and ridiculously, this band has always had
five words, sort of pattern, right?
Yeah. I don't know
five words
it came from, but it's stuck. So, so someone said, "Well, let's call it the Revenge of the Fifth." And then Casey said, and it's your fifth album. And then we it was one of those things. And
all we play is power chords, which are fifths.
Yeah, so...
when are we going to release this?
May.
That's the fifth month. Yeah. What day?
Fifth. It kind of just fell into place.
Yeah.
Fifth record released in the fifth month. The fifth day.
And if you pre-order from our website, you get it 5 days early.
That's
on April 30th.
There you go.
That was at the end of my interview.
Yeah, we're 420, so. So pre-order by 420.
Yeah, that's right.
Pre-order by 420. Off Revenge of the Fifth, this is the title track. As your songwriting and the songs differ from your previous material, because it has been a long time. So the stuff that you wrote about then is different than the stuff you wrote about recently. So,
well, yeah, the I think you just get older and you have a different perspective on things. I think having a son is, I've got almost a 6-month-old son, and that makes you think a little bit about things, about the world that you're leaving to him. Maybe I wouldn't have thought that way when I was 25. It was all about what's going on in my world. So I think
all the songs have a little bit of a different topic and a different feel to it, but that really shapes, you know, how I write now, and that's no different than I'm sure a lot of parents that are in bands and punk bands. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I will say that there are no songs about professional athletes on this record.
It's true.
And only one song about aliens.
Right. But yeah.
But no, the lyrics are, like, I think they're the best thing that, like, this band has ever released in terms of lyrical content. Most of them were written by Steve, but Jay wrote some too. They're really, really good lyrics. So it's definitely a lot more.
Steve took the driver's seat a lot more with the lyrics, like we were saying before. So, mm-hmm. You know, not that he wasn't before, but there's, you know, like I said, we come with full songs and full lyrics and all that, and very little changes would be made. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I want it my way. I don't want to change it.
Well, that would be me. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That was a spot on impression of yourself.
Yeah,
I'm glad this is audio, because I wouldn't want you to see you have to, you know, transcribe that later.
Yeah. Yeah. Off I get a GoPro, you guys. Next thing, like, all videos forever, I tell ya. You guys recorded Revenge of the Fifth here at Echo Bay Studio as well. You work here too.
It's very much home for me, so I don't...
You wouldn't believe what Casey does in here. He does everything. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Mixing, mastering, he really does it all.
It really does it all.
No, the...
This really went south fast.
He was here 100% of the time, and we had the luxury of being able to come in for, you know, 3-4 hour shifts, which, you know, really helped with our lives.
Mm-hmm. I'm the only one who doesn't, you know, have, you know, a wife or pets or children that make it more difficult to schedule that time, but that being said, it wasn't like I was in here making unilateral decisions either. Mm-hmm. It was still like very much like it was like a book time with one of them and then another one and then another one. So they were coming in shifts kind of. And I don't know. It was pretty comfortable. I mean, like I said, it wasn't really like super paced out. There was a deadline, which mm-hmm. is like, you know, if you're going to work with Steve, it's like everything's planned out. He's like mm-hmm. 100% on top of that stuff. So
it was mixed at the Blasting Room?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to have it wrapped up by, I think, the first week of January or maybe second week of January, because mm-hmm. we had 8 days booked down there. So yeah, Casey shipped the music down and they took care of it. And so the next week it was a lot of back and forth, sometimes as a group and sometimes, you know, it just had to be me and Andrew just mm-hmm. back and forth. Like there was one Saturday we were at it for 16 hours. Just he would send snippets and I would send it back because we needed to get it to, you know, where the mix was at 80%. So then everybody could kind of start, you know, putting in the small bits, but we had to get the majority of it there. So, that was a bit stressful because, you know, you can always have more time, you know, you always wish, oh, maybe we should have had 2 weeks to mix it, you mm-hmm. know, but it worked out really good and they were really great to work with mm-hmm. down there.
Is there anything that you would change now the album is pretty much set to be released in a couple weeks?
I feel really good about it.
Feel good? Excited?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's your favorite song to play live off for Revenge of the Fifth? You guys have played a couple of your songs when we were down south.
We'll tell you when we play them live.
Yeah, okay.
We've been playing them in rehearsal. Mm-hmm. For me...
Did you play any when you were in South America? Sorry to interrupt.
No new ones in South America. The only new song we've performed live was Hairline, and we only did it once at the Propaganda Show, just as kind of like a teaser. And I think because we all wanted to do something new, yeah. just mm-hmm. for kicks. But for me, the songs that I like to play them... Well, I like them all to play because they're all fairly challenging, but Revenge of the Fifth, Hairline, Delicate Stress, and those are sort of my three favorites to play mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. That'll change.
What is your favorite song?
I'm cool with Revenge of the Fifth. I like that one.
Jay?
I like them all. They're all pretty, Scott? Pretty sweet.
I'm very happy with the tune Delicate Stress, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool. It exudes Jay and Steve. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason that I chose Revenge of the Fifth and Hairline is because the solos that Scott plays in those songs are absolutely bananas. And I just like watching him play them.
Yeah.
Half the time I'm playing, I'm just watching him play the solo.
You guys traveled recently to South America a couple of months ago with Lagwagon, Adrenalized, and Mute, along with Garrett from Bird Attack Records, our friend.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. Yeah.
That American.
American. One of the first big tours supporting the upcoming Revenge of the Fifth. Tell us about that tour and about this experience, and were there any standout shows from that tour? Because this is sort of probably your first sort of thrust to sort of get things rolling, is that right?
Yeah, well, it was fun. The shows were a lot of fun. There was a lot of early mornings and a lot of late evenings because, mm-hmm. I mean, as many bands that have toured down there know, it's usually a flight every morning. So
you sleep until it's done.
Yeah, you sleep when you come home. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was great. great. We had a day off in Argentina and a day off in Chile, and the rest of it was just show.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, seeing those bands every night was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Good experience.
For me, it was my first time to South America, so I was just floored. I was flabbergasted. I knew that they really cherish their music and their band down there, but I had no idea it was going to be that enthusiastic.
Oh yeah, it was intense. It was
crazy.
Great.
The shows were big and hot and sweaty and energetic, and you couldn't help but give every single ounce of what you had in you because they were so present and so into what was going on. I really
probably
enjoyed
you
that.
About 45% tops, but you know.
That's
a lot for me.
Mm-hmm. I made up with 70.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Steve was
just too hot.
Yeah. The road and even 70 all the time. Even if I was at like a 35, it averaged out to like a 50, right?
So that's right.
I put in 100 every night, but depending on the sort of variable temperature in the venue, my 100% was only 80% of what would be in another venue. Because there were some that were just, I was just like dying. Oh, yeah. Just dying on the vine, just trying to get the songs done so I could be like, oh my God.
And all those, and you know, and you start with like Adrenalize, who's playing a 30 or 40 minute set, but progressively as the night goes on, the bands are playing longer and longer, and mm-hmm. and you're usually getting older and older by the time, you know? So like, I mean, we were joking with Lagwagons, like, you know, we're like, maybe not joking, but we were dying up there. Like guys were you know, almost passing out. Like Rio was a very hot show, mm-hmm. one of the hottest.
Wow.
But crazy. It was great, you know?
Oh, it was so mm-hmm. amazing. So amazing.
You have some amazing tours and festivals coming up this spring and summer, starting in Calgary. Your release at Dickens Pub mm-hmm. On the 5th of May. 13th of May, sorry.
That
then
would have been
Edmonton.
Really good.
Yep. And then Edmonton,
no,
and
12th.
Then you guys are heading.
13th to Edmonton, right?
No, 13th and 14th.
13th and 14th.
It is Friday the 13th. There's a Ouija board on the cover of the.
Dude, we are on it.
I know.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. I'll make sure I bring my
you are
broom that night.
Things are all in hit. There's another. No, I'm not going to do it.
Don't
there's
do it.
Another parallel I'm not going to do. It'll be an off record thing.
Yes.
Turn that thing off. It'll be fine.
You're heading to London, Ontario in May as well, followed by Pooza Fest.
Yep, Toronto as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. You have a show there. And then you're off to Europe. You're playing France with NOFX.
Yes.
As
yeah,
well.
No big deal.
As shows with Europe in June with FOD, one of Mark's favorites. Mm-hmm. And Homer, what else is coming up for you guys this summer? Tell us more about festivals and shows.
We play those shows and then a festival with the next day with Homer as well and Pennywise and Zebrahead. And that's mm-hmm. the last show of that little 4-day run. And that's kind of it. There's
Isn't
more.
There a house party in Carson Creek?
there is other things on. There's things getting figured out, but that's what's on the pages as of right now. But yeah, we'll probably do some more stuff around Canada. And obviously, if something really cool happens that we can make happen overseas, we'll definitely look at it.
Absolutely, well, that's exciting.
Isn't it White Court?
White Court.
Sorry for work.
White Court, Canada.
Fucking go for a killer ripping White Court. I mean, tell you.
I play White Court. I like it.
Do you know who you're playing with yet for that show?
It's a house party.
It's a house party?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't talk about
that.
We actually can't talk.
Private party. when people chant songs they want to hear today that you wrote a long time ago, can you still relate to play those songs? Or would you not play them if they didn't have the same relevance to you anymore?
Well, I mean, the full first album we don't pretty much play. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might squeak in one or two if we got an hour and a half to play. You've got to fill some time. We might play some of the old ones. But, I mean, you know, a couple from Angels of My Town. But really, I mean, I think for me, like, Twas Hell, Fast Forward, and The Split and this new one will kind of be our focus. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm always down with playing old stuff. But it's just, you know, you write songs when you're 18, and I think we have better songs since then.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know what it's like to be a fan of a band and love their old stuff, too. So you don't want to just, you know, just sweep that under the carpet. So
right.
I think it's difficult as a band, you know.
I don't remember shit. Mm-hmm. Like, those songs, those first couple albums were, I did play on the first album, came in on Angels, and we were doing a lot of stuff. I was doing a lot of stuff in those days, and some of those songs a little foggy.
Yeah.
You know, and then kids ask for them, and they're all stoked on them. Like, yeah. You don't want to say, I'm like, I actually don't remember how to
yeah.
do it. Like, give me a second, let me put my iPod in. Okay,
yeah.
I think we might be able to do it. All right. But I mean, it's just a lot of songs.
You can always blame it on me.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know.
Drummer, yeah. We didn't really get him
probably
the old tracks.
That's the sad part. You probably still think better than us.
I actually only know, like, maybe two songs off of the first record. Maybe.
Well, that's one more than I did. I'm pretty good, man. That's good average.
But I think it's difficult for any band because, you know, your sets don't generally get all that much longer. But then you get a larger pool of material to draw from. And if you're playing to a larger crowd of people, then every person in that crowd's got their own favorite song if they're a fan of the band. Mm-hmm. And you can't please everybody. You just kind of have to try and touch as many bases as you can in the amount of time that you have. So,
this is The Architect, Belvedere. The one band that challenges you to go out and become a better musician or motivate you to make music as your craft?
Oh, I'll tell you.
You can all answer individual, please.
Playing the Propagandi was awesome because I've listened to them since I was a little kid, and I've known the guys for a little while, and it was awesome to play with them, and you can't help but get excited watching that band play. Mm-hmm. They are so good live. Yep. That's my band.
He stole mine, so that was a good one. But when we did this South American tour, three of the guys on Lagwagon used to be in this band called RKL, which is like a huge influence, at least for me. And I know Scott loves them too, and Steve. And it was always like, you know, watching their videos, listening to band. Like there's, you know, the classics of NoFX, Lagwagon, Bad Religion, all those kind of bands of Fat Epitaph from that era. But RKL, I really felt was the real forefathers of that genre, of that kind of genre, like that Nardcore pop punk kind of
right
blend. So there's when I entered with Joe, I would bust Joe's balls about, like, just like, you gotta show me if I'm playing Betrayed right. Because I was just like, every night I'm like trying to show you, just like, no, you're doing it wrong, you gotta do this and this. And finally I actually got him to go out and play it. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of surreal moment where it probably was pretty awkward for him. I was punishing both him and Chris Frantz the entire time. Never wanted him to talk about Lagway. I'm just like, yeah, good set, man. It's like, yeah, cool, man. Yeah. Anyway, so you guys had that house in the Bay Area that DRI used to stay with, and there's all the cats that live there. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. So when me and there's an, and I think it was in Chile, and me and Joe were just like, just jamming on two basses to one of my favorite songs, which was, that was kind of the reason that I love being in this, playing this kind of music and being with these guys and doing that kind of thing, is because there's another guy who I would look at videos and be like, that's unreal. Like, that bass line's unreal. These guys are fucking crazy players. We'll never be at this level, never have the opportunity to talk to them about it, blah, blah, blah. And then having that one little moment where he's just like, no, do I play a fifth there? I'm like, I swear you play a fifth on that one, man. He's just like, bring up the video again. It's just like, we're like looking up his songs. And that doesn't happen, you know, with more mainstream bands or like in just other genres, right? There's mm-hmm. just so much more ego that's involved. And, you know, guys who have been around for 35 years, you know, 36 years, whatever, Lagwagon, all those guys have been doing this for, and still just taking the time for the opening band like us on the tour and just going, yeah, I'll show you that bass line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Just great people.
Yeah.
Really great people.
Scott, sorry, I took a long
ride. That's okay.
Took a long ride there. So.
I would have said propaganda if I was asked first, but
you are wearing the shirt right now.
The stuff I was listening to when we were writing and getting ready to record was like the new Strung Out got me really jazzed about going into the studio and recording and the new Such Gold and mm-hmm. Wilhelm Scream and all a lot of bands right now like that I really dig and when I listen to would really get me. I'm excited to know that we're coming in to record and write and put riffs together and stuff. So
we kept bringing up Skeleton Witch a lot too.
I wanted the guitarist to sound like Skeleton Witch. Just everything like Skeleton Witch except for the vocals.
Oh, Mina? I don't know. A punk band or any band?
Any band.
For me, it's always Rush. It's always been Rush. They're just my favorite band. But I mean, for punk bands, I mean, most of the punk music that I listen to is like 25 years old, so the Descendants. Mm-hmm. They're probably the Descendants / all. Maybe Bad Religion from like 87 to 91. I really like that stuff. I still listen to that stuff all the time. And I don't know. I think there's still a lot of stuff to mine in the past, but there's a lot of great records out there that I don't really get to hear. Mm-hmm. I spend so much of my time listening to music that's coming into the studio that I don't really maybe get a chance to pay attention to new stuff, which I think is something that I need to try and remedy. So, I mean, I had never really heard Adrenalized before we went on tour with them, and they were great. Mm-hmm. And I'd only ever seen one Mute video before we went on tour with them, and every night they killed it. So that just goes to show that I'm just being, you know, ignorant if I'm keeping my head buried in the past for too long.
Mm-hmm. I listened to Recipe for Hate twice today at work, and it's a pretty good album. I remember we were talking a lot about Recipe for Hate when we were doing the Achilles solo. Remember, yeah, we were just trying to get through that.
I think I mentioned Kerosene. I didn't check Kerosene on that one.
Is that the one that Eddie Vedder does the?
He sang on Soldiers.
That's right. Yeah, that's on Recipe for Hate.
Watch It Die. Yeah. That's too.
But he also sang. He also sang on American Jesus on that record.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he sang harmonies on that. So.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Wow. Thanks for the info.
And Jeanette Napolitano from Concrete Blonde, who's one of my favorite singers, she sang on that record too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the next one, I think she sang on Stranger Than Fiction.
Skyscraper came on when I was peeking on acid once when I was in summer of grade 9, and it fucking blew my mind. Like, my whole fucking ceiling kind of opened up, and it was just like, damn, look at there's all these fucking cartoon buildings falling out. Maybe I'm going into this too much.
No, right. Oh, this is awesome.
What was the first Bad Religion song I ever heard?
I heard Change of Ideas.
Nice, good one.
No Control.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first one I heard.
I'd be off Generator.
Yeah. Anesthesia, maybe something like that.
I got
Anesthesia's on Against the Grain.
Against the Grain.
Yeah.
I got my learner's license, and my buddy Aaron had a van, and Generator tape was in there, and that's it.
That's a good album.
Chunk, yeah.
Do you guys see what you do as a necessity in today's world?
Like us being in a band or us...
playing the music that you do, being in a band, the whole thing?
I don't know if I can really answer that. I think it's a necessity for me to be happy. Mm-hmm. That's probably what I can say about that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the world needs this band. This is purely self-indulgent bullshit we're doing here. So.
I don't think the world really needs anybody's particular band. The world needs music, obviously. Mm-hmm. But just like Nietzsche said, without music, life would be a mistake. But...
I never heard him say that, by the way.
Did you know him personally?
Well, no, but I just...
Did you hear it on the internet?
Did he call you at whom?
You old dulcifer.
I think in general, people who play music, and I think Jay touched on this earlier when he was talking about how people feel about it when they're younger, there's a lot of hubris involved where you're like, it's super important and blah, blah, blah. It's like... you get really precious about it. I think in the end, it's just important for everybody, regardless of their line of work, regardless of what they do, to sort of speak out about what they think about the world. And it doesn't necessarily mean that anybody's going to listen or that it's going to change anything, but it's more about, I don't know, contributing something to the collective consciousness in some way or another.
The world needs more guitar solos, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah,
it needs more shred.
Actually, it needs more good guitar solos.
Yeah, Nick Jonas can pretty rip it up.
back to Nick Jonas, poor guy.
It's funny, everybody busts his balls because this fucking kid goes up there. I don't know, maybe he's high on coke, maybe he's fucking, I don't know, reeling from a bad album sales. I don't know what his deal is, but just has a bad night. But applied to country music, that solo sounds like garbage. It's like, nee, nee, nee. But you put it over some fucking indie rock band, and he's a fucking genius. So it's gay context, right?
I tuned out for a while, so I actually don't know what we're talking about.
Right? We're just sort of finishing up the interview.
Oh, right.
Yes. Do you guys have any last word for our listeners or anything that you would like to add to our interview?
Thank you for listening. Thank you for continuing to listen.
Yes.
Yeah, same thing.
Bye, Revenge of the Fifth.
Yeah. Thanks for Derek for putting it out, taking a risk on us and everything, and being a band that's been defunct for a while. And
absolutely.
Everyone who still gives a fuck.
There are some fast songs on the album.
Yeah, a lot of fast songs. Yeah. A lot of fast songs on the album.
I like it. It's ripping.
Yeah, giddy up. Like I said, fucking really good.
Fuck.
This guy keeps coming in here and saying that. I don't know who that is.
She can edit it, don't worry.
Oh, I send this to Chris. He does all the editing. Yeah, I'm like, here you go. Drop it in the bin. Yeah, it's fine. Well, thank you for your time, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure. Revenge of the Fifth drops May 5th. You can check everything Belvedere out at belvedere.bandcamp.com. Mm-hmm. You can search social media on Facebook and Twitter at belvedere669. You can also pick up the album for pre-order before April 30th on Bird Attack Records. As will also be available on Effervescence Records, Funtime Records, Lockjaw Records, and No Reason Records. Is that correct?
And Bells on Records.
And Bells on Records, yes. Can never forget those guys. Yeah. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.